This is Arch of ArcherRadio.com, and today is Monday, June 5th, 2006. And tonight we are so lucky to have the boyfriend in Studio A. Say hi, boyfriend.
Hello.
And we are actually going to make this a three-way. Do you want to do a three-way, honey?
Oh, yes. Let's do a three-way.
We're going to call Chef Mark of the Remarkable Palate Podcast and just...
Let's get cooking.
Let's just... Yeah, get cooking. You want to get cooking? I'm sure you'll talk about food, won't you?
I've got a very big spatula for him.
He is hot. Let's give him a call, okay? Okay, it's... I think it's ringing. Yep, it's ringing. Do you hear that, sweetie?
I do.
And hopefully we'll be able to hear him.
Hello.
Hello. Who is this?
Who's calling me late at night?
This is Archer of Archer Radio.
Hey there. How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
Good. I'm doing very well.
I'm so glad to hear it. And we have with us a special guest tonight. We have the boyfriend.
Hey, Beulah.
Hey, how are you?
Now, remember your distance from the microphone, honey.
I'm afraid Archer is bossy. He's Beulah.
He's Beulah. You're Stanislaus. Are we gonna get? Is he gonna get spanky poos then?
He has gotten spanky poos and he's getting more.
He already spanked me once tonight. Yes,
he needed it. Well, he was completely.
Wait, you guys are supposed to keep that in the bedroom, you know.
Oh no, this was not in the bedroom. This was just a few minutes ago when I just disobeyed his rules.
Oh, he got it. He got it in the drugstore the other day. Mm-hmm. He had to have it.
Be careful. You don't want to get arrested.
Well, child abuse. You know, sometimes you have to do it.
Okay, just for. I have to demodulate the boyfriend. I turn down his volume because he's...
Oh, he's always tuning me out.
You know, when I was in high school, I had this great English teacher. She was, you know, one of these classic broads with a soprano voice. Mm-hmm. And you know, she was wonderful. But she had this phrase for me. She would say, "Mark, this is your volume. I'm turning you down." And she would sort of do the whole, the motion of turning the volume. So that's what you need for the boyfriend. You need a little volume.
I do. I have my mixer over here, and I'm just turning his volume down a little bit.
Okay. Oh, so you're on separate mics and everything.
Yes, yeah. We are. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fabulously high-tech of you.
I know.
So you know, I tell
my
students...
Did you guys go and have dinner tonight or something?
Well, tell Mark what we had for dinner tonight.
Oh, Archer cooked.
I did.
Were there vegetables involved?
No.
Well, no. Aww. But hold on to your spatula.
I was going to say, listen to this.
He deglazed a pan with white wine.
All right. Yeah. All right. So you got all those beautiful Maillard products that were stuck to the bottom of the pan.
I know, right?
That's
where
all the flavor is. You know,
yes.
It's in the Maillard reaction, the caramelization you get on the bottom of the pan. That's why I tell people don't use nonstick pans unless it's like you're making crepes or omelets.
Well, however, we have to admit, Archer did use a Teflon pan.
They're easier to clean.
Yeah, well, he's graduating because when I met him, he had no pots or pans. So the Teflon skillet...
Not true.
He did have some sticky particles because he complains that when he cooks chicken, and he's learned a few things, but when he cooks chicken, it's dry. And so I said, well, you know, if you've got a little wine or chicken stock, you can work with that and maybe don't fry it, you know, cook it so much.
I was going to say,
The big secret is starting with a super hot pan.
Yeah.
Because what you need to do is you need to sear it. You need to seal in the juices. So you sear it very quickly. You get that. First, it develops the brownness on the outside, and it keeps that liquid from escaping.
Right.
Okay, whatever.
So try it with a stainless steel pan. Okay? You're going to get a stainless steel pan, and you're going to heat it up real hot before you put any kind of fat in it. Then you put your fat in, and then you sear your meat. And that will also, and don't be afraid to let brownness happen on the bottom of that stainless steel pan.
Oh.
Because then when you deglaze it with your broth or your wine or heck, even water, then you're going to lift that stuff up from the bottom of the pan and it's going to stay in your sauce.
Gotcha.
Now, you know what we call that in New Orleans? We call that débris.
Débris.
Okay.
Well, in France, they call it the fond.
Oh, really?
Or the fond. As Americans have been so fond of calling it, you know, and it means the base or the bottom, and that foam that develops there is that brownness. That's the Maillard reaction. It's the caramelization, and that's where all your flavor is going to be.
Well, then we're going to go out and get Archer a stainless steel skillet.
Yeah, get a stainless and just play around with it. You know, I mean, it's not, nothing's, you know, you're cooking for yourself, so it's not like it has to be, you know, if you mess up a couple times, it's no big deal, you know?
Well, I do have to admit that what I made tonight, this chicken thing and this rice thing, was the best probably ever.
It was. Well,
nice.
You did some of those things that Mark suggested, but you did them in a Teflon skillet.
So but I did all this.
I mean, you're still going to develop some flavor from the, you know, from the wine.
We did,
or the broth,
yeah.
But, he did. But yeah, try it with a stainless and see, you know, let me know what the difference is for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. All right, now, Mark.
So we just did a show. I just got off the line with a bunch of the culinary podcasters. We did one of our culinary roundtables, and we were talking about barbecuing and grilling since it's the season now. We've been talking about charred meat.
Ooh, yum.
Oh, yum.
Which is, yeah, exactly. Everyone thinks it's yummy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Next week, June 10th and 11th, they're going to be here in New York. They're hosting the 4th annual Big Apple Barbecue Block Party in Madison Square Park.
Oh,
and they
yum.
Bring in 10 pit masters from all over the country that are like these serious heavy-duty guys that really know what they're doing. And they come in and it's amazing. So that's going to happen next weekend. So
wow.
I'm going to take my microphone in one hand and my wet wipes for the other.
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing some lovely Zinfandels with that barbecue. California
Zins.
That's
good. Yeah,
lovely.
They're actually going to have one of the panels. They're going to have is on pairing wine with barbecue, which can be a challenge for a lot of people.
Yeah,
and that's going to be led by Danny Meyer. You know, the restaurateur.
Uh-huh.
He's going to lead a panel on that. So that should be exciting. I may actually try to get into that panel, and hopefully they'll let me record.
Oh yeah, well let us know what you learn.
Yeah, yeah, because that can be a real challenge, can't it?
Yeah. I always like Zinfandel, or even, you know, if you really are challenged, if you're having that with a variety of things, like a nice rosé. We tasted a rosé at Pearson's last week, and it was a Syrah and a white wine blend.
I can't remember the name of it.
The label, but it was beautiful.
But Pearson's is our local wine shop that they know us pretty well there. It's actually in D.C.
Okay. All right. But and now, so they... They're pretty generous with their tastings, I bet.
Oh yes.
Absolutely.
Oh yes.
And Archer acts so silly that sometimes I have to slap his hand.
Well,
you're silly.
What I do?
Well, he's trying to compensate for your overmodulation.
Exactly.
Oh, I know.
See, he can hear it already through the
Skype. And it requires spanky poos right there in the shop.
Now, see, actually, I have to slap the boyfriend's hand because he insists on eating potato chips during the tasting at Pearson's.
Oh, I do not. No, you eat the potato chips. Let's be honest.
And are they barbecue chips?
No, they're like these.
They're
cheap,
just plain
cheap potato chips.
Yeah,
you know, because you can. It's tasty, and then you can use the excess part for eye makeup.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
All right, now Mark. Enough about.
I stole that line from Whoopi Goldberg's old Broadway show.
Oh, you're so clever. All right, enough about wine and food. I want to know what the hell you're doing home on a Friday night.
Oh, can you believe it? Isn't it
terrible? I can't. How are you ever going to get a man if you're staying at home on the computer all night?
I know. Well, I'm dedicated to my craft. We were, like I said, it was the only time we could record our roundtable, and we have to put the show out on Monday. It was the only time I could get four other people together to do it. So I went ahead and gave up my Friday night for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's okay. It is raining like Noah's flood.
Is it?
It's about to rain here,
yeah.
too.
In fact, the emergency vehicle just pulled up at the corner. There's every time it rains really, really heavily, there's a manhole cover on my street that does its little, like, pop thing where it's, like, popping and popping and popping and popping, and finally it blows. And I think it blew because I don't hear it dingling anymore, and I can see the lights outside, so they must have come to, you know, rope it off. Or it's dangerous because sometimes those manhole covers can either hit a car or it can hit a person if they're walking by, you know. There was one time where this was happening, and a car drove up and was stopped at the light and was literally right over it with no clue that this was going on.
Yikes.
And the thing blew and knocked right into its muffler.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, it's been raining really hard today.
Well, I'm still just worried about you that you're not getting out and having a social life.
Well, actually...
Okay, tell us.
This week, I met a couple of gentlemen.
Oh, good.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, Wimmy, you have to tell us
about
them.
Isn't it funny how, like, when it rains, it pours, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a perfect metaphor there. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this one guy that I have been chatting with online for a while, who he was living in Thailand for the last year. He was there working for an aid service organization in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in Hong Kong visiting family for a while, and he just got back this last week.
So he's Asian?
He's Asian. He's from the States, but he's Chinese.
Like Archer.
Yeah, but only when he's wearing a plaid shirt, right?
Oh, yes.
Which I am currently
wearing. I thought Archer was Malaysian.
We're trying to figure that out.
I think I'm Chinese.
Maybe he's Dutch Indonesian.
That's certainly possible.
Born in France.
Okay, right? So now you met a couple guys this week. What kind of dates did you go on?
Well, the gentleman that had just come home from Thailand, he, the funny thing, he had, you know, we chatted online several times over the years, but we just never actually met.
Mm-hmm.
And so he actually met me, and we went to the Union Square Green Market, and he was actually with me the other day when I recorded part of my show.
Oh, my goodness.
So he was there in the background listening while I recorded that. And then we went and saw the X-Men.
Oh.
We're both total, like, it turns out we're both comic book geeks.
Oh, so
we came out of the closet to each other about being comic book geeks. So right after the movie, we were at the Union Square movie theater, and right across from there is the store called Forbidden Planet, which is this big, you know, totally geeky comic book store.
Okay, now
and we went in there for a while. And
my rating of Chef Mark has just dropped.
Oh, why? Please, you won't even eat asparagus.
I can't believe that you're into the comic book thing.
Excuse me, no, they're called graphic novels.
Oh. That's a nice thing to call it, yeah.
No, wait, what is your... Hey, some of the most creative guys are into comic books.
But you just seem like you're so intelligent and so worldly.
Well, what's to say that that's not intelligent?
Exactly. Some of the most intelligent guys are into comic books.
I just think that's extremely geeky.
Some of the most astute social and political commentaries come from cartoonists.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, you should read. There are several
graphic novels.
There's a wonderful one called The Watchmen. If you ever get a chance to read, I know that you would like this because of your political leanings. Mm-hmm. There is a graphic novel that came out in the late 80s called The Watchmen.
Okay.
And it was a maxi series, you know, like a 12-issue series that has been compiled into a book. Take a look at it if you ever get a chance.
Yeah.
It's a superhero type comic, but it's really more about a political climate of this sort of place where the superheroes have fallen out of favor, and you know the whole thing about it is, well, who watches the Watchmen?
Right.
And it's sort of like, you know, I think it's very germane to what's going on right now.
Absolutely.
With sort of manipulation of media and public opinion. So
and messages.
There are
a
lot of really great graphic novels out there, my dear.
Oh my goodness. Here's the thing, Mark. I see you as this like hot, sexy Latin guy who is just...
I refuse to spit into your stereotypes,
Mark. I know. Isn't it terrible? I'm so sorry. I just don't see you as the geeky, nerdy kind of guy.
I do a podcast.
Yeah,
you're geeky and nerdy, honey.
Yeah, but I'm not hot like he is. He is just... I mean, have you seen his picture?
One can be both.
I have.
One can be both sexy and nerdy at the same time.
I guess so.
It's even better. It makes you even sexier to be nerdy.
Okay, so now, of the guys that you met this week, are you considering dating one of them, like the Asian guy?
I like him, yeah. I think we're definitely going to be good buds, regardless.
Does he listen to podcasts?
He does.
Does he listen to your show?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
My boyfriend doesn't listen to my show.
If you look,
I
if
do.
You look closely, you might even find him on my Frapper map.
Oh, no, you lie.
I don't know if there's a photo of him on there right now, but anyway.
Well, now, of course, you can probably tell that we've had a couple glasses of Merlot tonight.
Merlot?
Now, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Merlot is good.
I'm not going to drink any fucking Merlot.
Well, you know, we had a party just to celebrate Merlot, and we showed Sideways.
Well, he might remember that.
I remember that podcast. You
did.
Yeah, that was cool.
I'm looking for your Frapper map. Is it on your website?
It's on the remarkablepalette.blogspot.com website.
Yeah, that's where I am. Where is it?
But anyway, so no, I like this guy. He's kind of nice, but of course, you know, you don't want to jinx anything. But
no,
I think
true.
Regardless, he's a great guy. We're gonna be great friends no matter what. Like, you know, so we'll see. Yeah. And the other guy was a trick.
That's okay. Now let's talk about that one. Where did you?
That's also someone that I had known a while back.
Okay.
Where did you meet him? So online, obviously.
Online. Yeah.
Was it on Manhunt or on AOL or what? Where did you meet him?
Dead air.
Come on.
Dead air on a podcast. Well, I mean, you can figure it out. I mean, whatever.
Was it on gay.com or AOL?
It wasn't on AOL or gay.com.
It wasn't. Oh, Manhunt.
Oh, we've all done Manhunt.
Not me. I beg to differ. I have not done Manhunt.
Desperate? I don't think it's desperate at all.
You know, no. Some hot guys, please look at you. You're not desperate.
Well, you know what I mean. But like when you're not dating anybody and you're just feeling frisky, Manhunt's easy.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, you've had a profile on Manhunt.
I did not.
Oh, I bet you did.
I have never been on Manhunt.
Be careful about having profiles on any of these dating sites if you get any of these bitchy podcasting queens after you. Because you remember that podcast a while back of those British guys?
Oh, yes.
I think I told you about this. There was a British guy. Well, I know he's an American who does the podcast in the UK. And this other, like, Twinkie Boy or whatever.
Yeah, Twinkle Boy,
Twinkle Boy, who made some offhanded comment that he was the only worthwhile podcaster in the UK, and these guys found his Gaydar profile and ripped him a new one. They totally let him have it, like, because his Gaydar profile showed him in really into the stuff he was into, like heavy duty, you know. And they really let him have
it. Yeah, I remember you telling me.
You gotta be careful.
That's very anyone's mean.
Out there in listener land, and they come across my profile. Be kind.
That's true. Now, Mr. Boyfriend, did you know that Mark likes to wear leather chaps?
Do you?
Assless leather chaps?
Do you really?
He's into that.
On occasion.
Oh, wow. I've never had assless leather chaps.
Well, then they're pants, right? I mean, if they're not assless, they're just pants.
Now, where do you buy
the definition of chaps?
That's true.
Now, I've worn, back in the day, I had, very long hair. And a goatee, and I had this hippie, grungy look. And another one of my hippie gay friends, we were both into that kind of grunge rock scene. He had leather pants. And we were also kind of fuck buddies. So I can I can say that, right?
You can say whatever the hell you want.
So, anyways, we were fuck buddies.
As Archer likes to say, you can say fuck shit, piss damn on a podcast because there's no FCC regulation.
And on your new podcast, you'll be able to say the same thing.
Absolutely. But so he was a lot taller than I was, and so he looked very good in his leather pants, and he had these big boots, and he had the leather jacket and all that. Don't you
What's
do that.
What's going on over there?
He's always disrupting my creativity and my flow and stream of consciousness. So I decided...
I'll tell you a story about opening candy after the boyfriend.
After my story. Wait, so I decided, I want to try on your leather pants because I've never had a pair.
Did he wear the same size as you?
We had the same waist size, but he was taller.
26, right?
No.
Right, yeah.
Anyway... So I tried them on, and they were. I looked like a. I just looked foolish. I mean, because
really?
He was tall, and he had like a.
You had excess length on the bottom. Oh.
Even with my boots on, I mean, I just couldn't make up the difference, and so they ended up being baggy and heavy and hot. It was in New Orleans.
Leather jeans or chaps are the sort of thing that you really have to have fitted properly to you to really. You know, to have that complete sexy look, you know, you really got to have them fit properly.
Oh, so did you have yours custom fit?
Yeah.
Oh, where?
I've actually got several pairs. I've got two pairs of leather jeans, and then you know a pair of leather chaps.
Oh,
there are a lot of places. There's a place in the Village here in New York called the Leatherman on Christopher Street. There's also a place called the Noose on 19th Street in Chelsea. And then there's in there's a place called Mr. S Leather in San Francisco that's really good.
Oh,
there's a couple places in Chicago that are really, really good.
So what do you wear when you wear your leather chaps? What do you wear with those?
Or like a leather vest.
I have like a harness or thing that I'll wear with that.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's sounding like you're actually really into leather, are you?
I have.
Hello? I think we lost him.
Call him back.
Well, it hasn't... Hello?
Right here.
We can't hear you.
Here.
Well, speak to us.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can. Yeah.
You're breaking in and out, but go ahead.
The whole time. Not me. No, I was saying that I have been into leather in the past, and now it's not such a big deal for me, you know, but mm-hmm. it's still enjoyable once in a while.
I think Arch would look hot in leather pants. He has a pair of harness boots that he wears.
I do.
And I think he looks very handsome in them.
Yeah, see, if you get the 501 cut leather, like it's the same cut as a 501 jeans, but they're made with leather, mm-hmm. Those are great. You can wear them, you know, and especially if you wear a blazer and like a nice shirt with open collar, that actually, you know, can be nice to go out to dinner in.
Oh.
You know?
We'll have to get Archer in
if
that.
You go down to Boys
I just
Town.
Don't know.
Yeah.
You guys can go to DuPont Circle wearing that.
You know, absolutely. We've been dating for 15 months now.
We haven't been to a bar.
We have never.
Wait, you sound like this is how people who have a baby talk. They talk in months.
I know.
Wait, in gay years, that's 5 years.
He's 24 months. No, he's not. He's 2 years old.
Well, because it was a year in February, and it's been 3 or 4 months since.
Since about then.
15, yeah. 16 months, something like that. But no,
you can say a year and a half if you want.
Okay, year and a half, whatever. We've never been to a bar. We are just not bar people.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, we've never even been to DuPont Circle together.
We haven't.
You should. Why the hell not? You know.
Well, we're just not like that.
Well, but it doesn't label you. Going into a bar doesn't label you. It isn't like you get the scarlet letter on your forehead or something.
No, but I think we're more like suburban queers. I think we like our
even
quiet.
Though he lives in the city.
Well, but no, but where I live, it really is more suburban.
You're like on Queer as Folk, you know, when they settled down and moved out away from Liberty Avenue.
Yeah,
basically, yeah.
I really am. I mean, I live in the city. I live in D.C., but you know, and I'm maybe 10 minutes away from DuPont Circle, but I'm in a very quiet hamlet. It's near American University
and huge expensive houses.
Yeah, and we've
it's
got
it's very pretty over there.
Oh, it's like beautiful. The National nice. Cathedral. Yeah. You could walk. There are beautiful gardens. And
I heard that the bishop has a garden.
Yeah, he does. We go there all the time.
You are so clever, Mark.
But you know,
you guys talk about it. That video was really cute. I like that video from the bishop's garden.
Yeah, I haven't shot a video in a while.
Many months ago.
But it's our favorite spot in the city. It's my favorite spot in the city. It really is an oasis from, you know, political Washington and all of that. It's just like a quiet place to go and relax, and so I like it.
Oh, wait. So, okay, I want to tell you my story about unwrapping candy because I think it's...
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Yes, yes.
Okay, you know, I used to be an actor, right? And I was, for a time, I was a member of the National Actors Theater Company, which was Tony Randall's theater company.
Okay.
We were doing a play. We were doing Inherit the Wind. And there was a revival on Broadway. It starred George Scott and Charles Durning. And unfortunately, Mr. Scott was rather ill at the time. And so his understudy had to go on for him several performances. And, of course, his understudy was none other than Tony Randall. So one day, it was a matinee. And, you know, you get these matinee ladies, and they like to unwrap their candy. So Tony Randall's up there giving his... you know, the big speech of the play, and you can hear someone unwrapping their candy in the front row. So Tony Randall stops. He turns out to the audience, and he waits quietly.
While he's in character?
Woman, just staring at this woman. And when she finishes, he says, "Are you done?"
While he's in character,
and then he turns around and continues.
Oh my god!
You know, I don't blame
around.
Him.
He was not messing around. Oh, it was terrible.
I don't blame him.
Should have seen everyone on stage, you know, go white, because you know it's one of these old plays where the whole town is on stage, right? So there's 50 actors on stage. We were all like going white, like, oh my god, is he gonna like go off on this lady in the middle of the performance?
Well, but I understand that, and because as you know,
it
as made a high
rest in peace, the poor dear.
Well, you know, as a high school teacher, I do a lot of, and I teach advanced level history, so I do a lot of lecturing, and so it requires concentration because you're doing the same show five times. I mean, when you're teaching, I teach five periods, so it's like doing five shows a day, and so you have to, you know, you have to
That's like working in a theme park, honey.
Well, it is. And, you know, I don't have scripted I mean, I know what I want to lecture about. I plan it out. I know what I want to say. And so if I get, like, that kind of interruption, so a student who gets up and sharpens a pencil, it drives me crazy. And I will stop, and I will stare at that person. And when he or she, or if they... I'm very sensitive to noise and chatter. I don't lecture or speak while other students are talking. And I get
it
very...
It drives you crazy.
It does.
All right, listen, both of you. We're coming up on the end of the show, but Mark, do you have anything to do? You want to hang around for a little bit more?
Oh, no, I can hang around.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right, so we're going to end this show, and we're going to go ahead and record another show. Are you up to that, boyfriend?
I'm up for it.
All right.
Sure, okay, everyone, on 1, 2, 3...
All right, boys and girls.
Bye, Archer.
Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Archer Ray.